Let me just get organized real quick, and then we'll move forward. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, I know you can do so much better. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's good to see you. It's good to be alive and well. It's good to be here in Cleveland, and I'm glad to see your smiling faces. The last time I came, I did not see this many people, but I'm excited. I'm overjoyed that you're here, that I'm here, and that the Lord is here. He is present with us right now. All I ask is that you pray for me and my family as we continue to go throughout Ohio and minister about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I just want to say God has not called me to entertainment. God has called me to the ministry for such of a time as this. And so I just want to pause and say thank you for continuing to preserve who we are as Seventh-day Adventists. Amen? Amen. And I want to thank the church for allowing me to come once again and spend time with you. I want to thank Miss Ware. I was not aware that she was the pastor's wife here that was present. Her daughter and I used to teach over at the Mayfair Seventh-day Adventist school a few years ago. And it's a blessing to be here, Miss Ware, and I pray that your husband will continue his ministry here as well. And then I want to extol my good friend, Brother Bodie. He's always giving me words of encouragement. He's always giving me words of inspiration in the work that I'm doing for the Lord. So continue to pray for us as we move forward. I'm going to read to you right now in Mark chapter 8, 11 and 12. I'm going to read it one more time. Mark chapter 8. This is what the Bible says. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seeketh after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering to the ship, departed to the other side. Then in Matthew chapter 16, 1 through 4, I want to read that in your hearing. Matthew 16, 1 through 4, and this is what the Bible says. And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. O wicked and adulterous generation, seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Now I read these two gospels together. They bring out different information. Well, Mark brings out one point where Matthew brings out other points. And then we bring this thing together and we get a comprehensive view as to what is going on concerning these signs that they're asking for. The title of my sermon is called, Jesus, Give Me a Sign. Jesus, give me a sign. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jesus, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that right now that you would move across the auditorium, across the sanctuary, that you would grab attention of every mind and every heart. And we're asking in the name of Jesus that you would allow your angels to come and rest with us right now. Father, be with us. May we receive a rich blessing from the hearing of your word. And after everything is said and done, Lord, I pray that everything that is said under the sound of my voice is to glorify you, that you would be praised, that you would be glorified. And then, Lord, I ask that somebody would be saved as they walk away from this sermon. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, let everybody say, amen. Jesus had just left the region of Decapolis, where he fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fishes. After each person had eaten, he sent them away. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 10, that straightway, meaning immediately, at once or without delay, he entered into a ship with his disciples, crossing over to the western side of the Sea of Galilee to a place called Dalmanutha. This is the only time in the Bible that this place has been mentioned. Matthew identifies the same place as Magdan, which is about 3 miles north of modern Tiberias and about 5 miles southwest of Capernaum. Mark 8 says that the Pharisees came forth to question Jesus about seeing more signs. Matthew 16 also suggests that the Sadducees were there among them while this demand for more signs was going on. For the first time, the Bible notes that the Pharisees team up with the Sadducees in an attempt to silence Jesus. And from that time that Jesus stepped onto Galilean soil, their objective was to tempt and destroy him with his own words. Jesus, show us a sign from heaven. Jesus, show us a sign. The SDA Bible commentary says, they, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, no doubt surmised what his answer was likely to be. He would refuse, and his refusal they probably intended to present to the people as evidence that his claims to messiahship were false. They were putting Jesus to the test, even as Satan had done in the wilderness, not with a sincere desire to see something that would convince them, but rather with the hope that he would fail to do so and thus give them an opportunity to denounce him and deny his claims. With emphatic emotion and forceful speech, while attracting attention, they said, Jesus, show us a sign from heaven. Jesus, show us a sign. A detail noted only in the Gospel of Mark. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 12 that Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. The HBJ School Dictionary describes sighing as drawing in and letting out a deep, loud breath, as in sadness and weariness or relief. Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. Why? Because Jesus knew their hearts and intention. Jesus, he sighed deeply in his spirit. Why? Because he knew that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. Why? Because Jesus knew that there is nothing good in man outside of him. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. Why? Because Jesus perceived in his heart that these so-called leaders were hopeless, for they were slow to believe spiritual truth. These leaders rejected the truth and mercy and knowledge that had been given unto them. Listen to me. As Jesus sighs deeply in his spirit, he asks a question. Why does this generation seek after a sign? Why does this generation seek after a sign? Now, we're not just talking about any kind of sign here. We're not talking about zodiac signs that line you up with the stars of the universe and predict human behavior and give some psychological comfort. We're not talking about billboard signs where it's designed to capture the attention of passing drivers and pedestrians to build brand awareness and promote products and push for customer action. We're not talking about traffic signs that are designed to maintain order in the streets, prevent accidents, and promote safe, efficient travel for all road users. We're not even talking about gang signs, where you use your hand signals and graffiti and tattoos to serve as localized visual language to line you up with some type of group. The sign that the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to see, the sign that Jesus said that this generation seeketh after, is identified as a miracle. A miracle is defined, according to Roget's 2 New Thyrus, as an event that is unexplainable, inexplicable by the laws of nature. Great surprise, it's astonishment of disbelief, it is phenomenal, transcendental, it is supernatural. Its warnings point to a being outside of our natural world. Can you imagine the voices of these spiritual leaders there on the seashore of Galilee? Jesus, give us a sign from heaven. Jesus, give us a miracle to prove that your authority on earth as God is true. By this time, they knew that all the miracles that Jesus had performed. They saw and witnessed for themselves all the miracles that he had done among the people. Jesus demonstrated power over disease, and he demonstrated power over nature, and he demonstrated power over just demons and death. But yet, with all this evidence and confirmation and proof and validation, they, with spiritual blindness, looked past his perfect collection of miracles, seeking for visible signs, miracles from heaven. Listen to me today. What they wanted to see Jesus do is perform miracles entirely removed from the realms of human control. They wanted to see thunder produced out of season that Samuel talked about producing in the sight of the people in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 17. They wanted to see Christ rain down fire from heaven like Elijah did to prove that he was a prophet of God in 2 Kings 1 and verse 10. They wanted to see Christ cause the sun to stand still like Joshua when he called upon the Lord to defeat the Amorites in the valley of Ajalon in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. I declare to you today that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had no further need of any signs or miracles from heaven. They were aware of the angels' announcements to the shepherds of Bethlehem, of the star that brought the wise men to Jerusalem. They were aware of the descending dove representing the Holy Spirit and the voice from heaven above that spoke about his son. These were all considered signs from heaven. Because Jesus refused to perform the signs they asked for, they said, he is not even like the ancient prophets of old, like Samuel and like Elijah. Therefore, they rejected the light and the knowledge that was given unto them. They rejected the truth. I want you to take note here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 12, what Jesus says. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Christ was speaking to this generation, was simultaneously speaking to our generation. Mark chapter 8, verse 12, speaking in contemporary vernacular of the common language of the people today. If you can hear Jesus say, there will be no sign given unto you no time soon. In fact, I'm not going to give you a sign at all. Can you hear Jesus saying that in our time? Stay with me. Jesus gave us signs, miracles, so that we would believe his word. Amen? Believe that he is the Son of God. I want to take you over to John chapter 12. I want to pause, and I want you to read with me John chapter 20. 30 and 31. John chapter 20, 30 and 31. When you get it, say amen. Reading and you're hearing. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. in the Bible. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through his name. There in John chapter 20, you could notice Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, would not believe that Jesus was resurrected from the grave, and Jesus appears to him. He tells him to behold his hands. He tells him to thrust his hand into his side. He tells him to be not faithless, but believe. And Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Listen to me today. Do you believe? Do you believe that Christ was born in a stable in Bethlehem? Do you believe that Christ cloaked his divinity in the garb of humanity? Do you believe that Christ was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration? Do you believe that Christ hung on the cross for our sins and transgressions? Do you believe that Christ, he died and he rose again? Do you believe that Christ, his blood can save us? Do you believe that Christ intercedes for us and is acting as our high priest? If you believe that today, come on and say amen out there. My title today is Jesus, Give Me a Sign. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. And I'm going to read 6, 7, and 8. Luke 23, verse 6, 7, and 8. Once again, when you have it, say amen. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Jairus' jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some sign, miracle done by him. Now, we're talking about Herod, the same King Herod that killed John the Baptist, who was supposed to be a follower of God, who was supposed to be educated on the history of Israel and looking for the Messiah to come. Christian folk. Herod is standing before Jesus, asking for a sign, to verify his authority as the Son of Man. And Jesus said nothing to him. Are you hearing me? He said absolutely nothing to King Herod. And Jesus made a comprehensive statement with his silence. If you could hear Jesus' silent thoughts towards Herod. Herod, you are supposed to know me. Herod, you don't even have a personal relationship with me. You will be destroyed because you have rejected the knowledge and the truth about me. Nothing came out of that conversation after, absolutely nothing came out of that conversation. Is it safe to say that this is how Christ will deal with those who reject him? Is it safe to say that? And to add insult to injury, Herod, because he could not get a sign, a word out of Christ, he sat there and mocked him to his face, revealing what was really in the heart of Herod, unbelief and lack of faith in Jesus Christ. And so the question I want to ask you today is there any Pharisees, Sadducees, or Herods among us today who lack the faith in Jesus Christ? We have all this worldly knowledge. We have all these worldly titles. We have all this power and honor and prestige in the world. But yet we reject the truth and the knowledge and understanding, and we lack faith in Jesus Christ. And we even doubt his word. Are you following me today? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 49, verse 20, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. You will be like a dog that is living, no hope of immortality, no hope of eternal life, and you will be there just living, existing with no hope, miserably without Christ to save you. Are you hearing me today? You are lost, and you can do, Christ can do nothing else for you. And while I'm on this train of thought, when you have the opportunity, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John chapter 18. They all talk about the conversation Pontius Pilate, an unbeliever, had with Christ concerning his claim to be a divine or supernatural king. Pilate, he wanted to know Christ, his true identity as king. Who are you, he said. He said, who are you? And Christ tried to give Pilate a chance to do the right thing. He told him point blank that he was a king. Jesus told him that his kingdom was not of this world. Listen to me. Jesus knew that Pilate didn't want to kill him. Jesus knew that he wanted to find a way to let him go. Jesus knew the decision that he made, whether to let him live or die, had eternal consequences. So therefore, Jesus had mercy on him and answered his questions concerning his true identity. He had not rejected Christ yet. And so Jesus tried to work with the brother. Are you following me so far? Jesus even sent him a sign of confirmation who he was through his wife. She sent him a letter during the trial. Hey, I have suffered many things in a dream about him. He is just a man, a just man. Leave him alone. Have nothing to do with him. Now I want to stop and give you a commercial. Husbands, are you listening to your wives? Your wives have a whole lot to say, and sometime they might save you from some mess. Are you hearing me today? Listen to your wives. I know you want to be the leader in the home, but your wife has beautiful words to save you from yourself. Amen? I know that's hard for you to listen to. The letter provided a warning, a supernatural warning from God in a dream that Jesus, who he says he is. It was supposed to be confirmation of what he already knew about Christ. He's a just man. Not only is he a just man, he's probably a supernatural king. Herod probably knew this. But Pilate disregarded the sign that was at war with his conscience. He discarded the sign to save his political career. He couldn't let go of all that power that he possessed in the region. He didn't want the Jewish leaders to take him to a higher authority in Rome. No, that can't happen. The mob. What about the mob? He feared what the people would do if he didn't kill Jesus. So in the name of self-preservation, he ordered the execution of Jesus. Pilate is lost. Lost because he chose the world over Jesus. Listen to me today. I strongly believe that Jesus wants to give every person on this planet the opportunity to know him. When he reveals himself, believe him. His signs and miracles that line up with his word should never be dismissed with doubt. But even when you do this, he keeps trying to draw you to himself. He keeps wooing you to himself. God loves us as if you were the only person that ever existed on the earth. And he keeps on. He keeps trying to reach you. God is a God who is rich in mercy. He is a God who is rich in grace and love. He is long-suffering, never wishing any to perish. He is full of goodness, and his truth endureth forever. Why would you ever throw away your signs and miracles of confirmation? Why would you do that if it comes from Jesus? I'm telling you the truth today. If you reject Christ, he has no other alternative but to reject you in the future. Jesus can be a sign. Many times Jesus used harsh words to describe the character of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He used words like vipers and blind guides and snakes. But then he uses in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 3, describes them as hypocrites. Oh, you hypocrites, he says. You say one thing and you do another. You are full of unethical deceptions and schemes. You manipulate the law to control the minds of the people and to protect your own interests and power. You pay lip service. You pay homage with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Oh, you hypocrites, how is it that you are able to discern the weather with your eyes, detect yours with your senses, that one day the sky will be clear and dry, and then the next day will be an overcast with a possibility of rain, but yet you cannot discern the signs of the time? Disgusted with their attitudes, Jesus, disgusted with their line of questioning, says, you wicked and adulterous generation, seeking after a sign, there will no sign be given unto you. But Jesus' words then can be used to describe the generation of today. The generation of today. The generation is wicked. Immorality is at its all-time high. Many hearts and minds are overtaken by Satan. Nothing is off limits, morally speaking. Violence and crime is everywhere. There is a spiritual decay concerning the things of God. False prophets, false doctrine, spiritualism, cultic practices and cultic beliefs, all on the uprise. And the term adulteress that Jesus used to describe the Pharisees and the Sadducees referred to their disloyalty to God. Isn't that what's happening today? The word of God has been disregarded and people are turning to other religions. Technology is their God. They pray to the phones. They turn to the lust of money and they turn to the internet and Facebook and they possess the possession of power. That is their God. They rely on themselves to get the job done. Self-reliance. Many people are not believing in God anymore. They have turned away from him. They do not comprehend that God is their source of strength and power. Stay with me now. Jesus also used miracles and signs when people understood that they needed him. When people understood that they desperately needed him to help them, when nobody else could, Jesus came through, did he not? I want you to look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14 and 24. When you get home, I want you to look at that text. Read it for yourself. But I'm going to paraphrase for you for the lack of time. The father came to Jesus. He brought his son with a demon, a son that was demon possessed. And he said, Lord, my son from a child has been tormented with this evil spirit. He just cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And he began to cry with tears, Lord, have mercy, have compassion on us. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, help us. That's all you need is a noun, a verb, and a gesture. Lord, help me, Lord. Save me. I need you today, Lord. Come through where you're at, Jesus. Help me. Right then, Jesus comes through and he cast out that evil spirit from that boy. And can you see the man rejoicing when he made his son whole again? And he's there holding his son and he's crying with great tears. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you have done. My cousin Roxanne was diagnosed years ago with leukemia. She was only given 3 to 4 years to live. She went down to Mexico to an Adventist clinic to take natural remedies in her fourth year, thinking that this is the last La Lassa Rasa, let me try it out. Just maybe it might work. When she went there to the treatment, she was healed from the cancer. The natural physicians there told her to go back to her doctors and tell them that you are cured. I don't know about you, but when I witness a miracle performed by God, it gives me great confidence, y'all. Not only does it give me great confidence, I begin to get beside myself and I get excited and enthusiastic. I begin to jump up for great joy. Are you feeling what I'm saying today? I lose my mind because I'm excited about what Jesus Christ has done. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond our measure. Great and marvelous are thy works, thy Lord God Almighty. You are the Lord of all creation. You are the all-powerful God. There is nothing that you cannot do. You are the God that has power to provide all our needs. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Come on, y'all, somebody. I know that there's a witness out there. God performed, have you witnessed God performing a miracle in your own life? Have you witnessed God performing a miracle in your children's? Or have you witnessed God taking nothing and turning it into something? His measurable, immeasurable wisdom far exceeds our comprehension. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, God can do it. Are you listening to me? God is able. God is not dead. God is alive and real. Amen. I'll say it for you. Amen. 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 Jesus, give me a sign. God is in the miracle working business, is he not? I've seen it for myself and I believe in God. If the people of that time could see or witness in real time what we are witnessing every day. All these planes going across the sky. You can put food in your microwave and it's miraculously heated up. If they could see television and sit down, they say, what? If they could see cars going across the street, no more horses. They could see cars and they could see robots and the list goes on. They would say, man, this is devilish. Wouldn't they? How are they doing this? None of these things are miracles of God. God's well of wisdom is bottomless. You begin to ponder on that thought. My thought begins to keep going to higher levels. And I question God. God, well, who made you? How are we able to exist in all these things that's going on around us? And then when I go to heaven, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, how are you able to bring a man and a woman together in holy matrimony and then produce a child? How is that possible? All of a sudden, I'm with my wife and one day, boom, pops up my child. I got to tell you, it is the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed in my whole life to see my child, my children birthed. That's the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed in my life. This is truly a mystery. This is truly a miracle. I want to unpack these things with Christ when I get to heaven. I'm going to have Christ come on in. We're going to sit down. We're going to sup together. We're going to have a little apples and we're going to have a little oranges and we're going to have maybe a little vegetarian meat. I don't know. But I'm going to sit down and we're going to discuss this topic of how he came about, how children were produced in a marriage. They're produced in different ways, but it's a beautiful union between a man and a woman. Are you hearing me today? True story. There was this young man who happened to find this beautiful woman. He married this beautiful woman and they birthed two beautiful children, two beautiful girls. One was the age 3 and the other one was age 4. In fact, his beautiful wife was about to birth a boy. His wife was expecting a boy. These children that God had given them were all miracles, all signs and wonders, a gift from God. His wife was overjoyed. She was rejoicing because she had these beautiful miracles in her life, and she couldn't wait to birth and present her husband with another miracle, a son. Oh, the anticipation! She couldn't wait. These two beautiful miracles, two beautiful girls praised him and told him how much they loved him. They praised him and told him that he was their hero. They hugged him and kissed him. They spent hours upon hours playing with him. Oh, how they loved their father. Oh, how he was their pride and joy. So one day, the husband comes home and he announced to his wife that he's having an affair. And so one day, one night, he comes home and he kills his wife. One of his beautiful girls, beautiful miracles, asked him, "What was wrong with mommy? What's wrong with mommy?" So you know what he did? You know what he did to cover up his mess? He took his wife's body and put her in the trunk of the car, put his two girls in the back seat, and drove to his job. He took his wife's body out, buried her in the ground near oil well where he worked at, and his two beautiful girls, his miracles from God, as they were crying out, "Daddy, don't do this, Daddy. Daddy, don't do it." He took them and threw them down an oil tank filled with oil to solve the problem. Lord, have mercy on him. God, have mercy on him. Are you hearing me today? There is a sickness in this world that we live in. A sickness. He killed, I tell you the truth, that guy killed four miracles that day. His wife, his boy that was not born, that they were anticipating, and his two beautiful children. How does one take those miracles sent from God and discard them and throw them away, reject them like they're nothing, like it was trash? How does one do this with conscience? I'll tell you how. The Bible warns us that in these last days, according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, many will sin and know that thing that they're doing is wrong, yet they will proceed to act on it and will not care. They will be past feeling, numb, and waxed cold in real time, in reality. A sickness, I tell you. Paul describes this world that we live in as crooked and perverse. Folks are not walking straight with God anymore. Folks are dishonest and full of deceit. Folks are bent on doing their own thing. Society is bent on deception, bent on corruption, and the world has deviated from that which is normal, from that which is normal and right and proper. And there is no loyalty under God. Are you hearing me today? Jesus says, "You wicked and adulterous generation, you seek after a sign, but I will not send you a sign." Steps to Christ. And when you go to the chapter, I want you to go to what to do with doubt. Steps to Christ, chapter what to do with doubt. God does not force the will of his creatures. He leaves all free to choose whom they will serve. But he has given abundant evidence to convince the mind if you will only consider it. Once the heart is severed from God, the enemy has access to it now, and he will lead it into evil and wicked paths. There are people in the world right now that are sincere. They are searching for the truth, searching for the true God. "Lord, how am I able to discern the signs of the time?" Point people to the Bible. For 6,000 years, God has written down all the knowledge, all the information, all the signs. He fulfilled it. And to point you to him. For 6,000 years, he has told us how he created us, how he has saved us through his blood, how he will come again a second and third time to the earth. Great controversies. Page 4 says, in his word, God is committed to men the knowledge necessary for salvation. The Holy Scriptures are to be accepted as an authoritative, infallible revelation of his will. Are you connected to his word today? Are you aware of all the prophetic signs that point to his soon return? God's voice to us through his powerful word. It is living and it is acting. When God gives you a sign, a miracle, look at the word, look at the Bible to see if those signs or miracles match up with what he has provided with you in the word. If it matches up with the word, then it's your job to believe. Believe in his power. Huh? And at the same time, I want to caution you because not all signs come from God. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that Satan works with lying wonders. Even it says great wonders. Even making fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That deception will be so great. Men who are not involved and in tune with God's word, they will say, oh, that is God. But you have to line everything up with God's word. What do you say out there today? These miracles are designed in the last days from Satan to deceive so that people will worship him. In these last days, the Bible will help you determine the signs and miracles that belong to God versus those that belong to Satan. And the Bible will help you to determine the signs of the time. I want you to remember this text. I'm almost done. Stay with me. The text is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any interpretation, private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 2026, the Bible is strong and it is very alive and it is, you can trust it. Are you following me? Can you see the signs of the time? Can you see the signs that Jesus is coming? Jesus says, when you see these signs, know that my coming is near. You can look at it in Matthew 24. You can look at it in Luke 21. You can look at Mark 15. All talk about the coming of the Lord. All point to Jesus Christ's return. Have you been watching the signs of the time? Are you able to discern the signs of the time? There are wars and rumors of wars, political instability, and there are intense earthquakes and famines and global pestilence. There are environmental distress. There's lawlessness and selfishness. There's apostasy, a falling away from God's word. Knowledge has increased through the word, through the world of technology. These are the signs of the times. Just a little while ago, not too long, I still got it in my mind. I was driving on to work, and I was going to my destination and take people back and forth. While I was taking people back and forth, my tire mysteriously got flat. And I said, what happened there? How did I get a flat tire? So I pulled up and I talked to some of the parents and so forth and so on. One of the parents decided to come and pick up her son. Now, I want you to note here that I did not give her an address. I didn't give her a location. I didn't even give her a city, a zip code. I did not give her nothing. I'm telling you, I gave her nothing. In a matter of minutes, that lady showed up to pick up her son. And I said in my mind, man, if this is what can happen just in the general public, what are they doing behind the scenes in the government? What kind of stuff do they have saved away to track you down in the future? Knowledge has increased like Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 predicted. Are you watching the signs of the time? Huh? Through our phones, when they're connected to Siri, it can assist you with turning on electronics such as lights and televisions. And it can turn on washing machines and dryers. Didn't know that. But it can turn those things on. It can find information for you, send messages, and manage smart home devices, answer questions. Are you hearing me today? You know, the scary thing is, I believe that Siri is a way for the government to be in your house to listen to what's going on with your conversations. And sooner or later, we're going to have to throw Siri and phones out the door. Because when we start running to the mountains, when we start going and trying to take cover, because the mark of the beast is coming, y'all. Let's start talking plain here. Jesus is about, are you witnessing the signs of the time? Are you paying attention to the historical events that point you to the beginning of the time of the end? For 1,200 years, the papacy ruled supreme, and it ended temporarily after being captured by French forces as prophesied in Daniel and Revelation. Did you take note of the fulfillment of biblical signs regarding the Lisbon earthquake in 1755, the dark day of the sun and moon in 1780, the falling of the stars in 1830? Did you pay attention to the 1844 movement? The end of the 2,223-day prophecy of Daniel 8:14, which marks the beginning of Christ's investigative judgment in the heavenly sanctuary. Are you paying attention to the approaching final crisis? The three angels' message being proclaimed and preached to all the world to warn people to come back to God and to worship on the true day of Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath. And the close of probation is soon to be upon us, where the intercession of Jesus will be no more. The destiny of humanity will be fixed, and the door of mercy will be closed. There are insincere people that are not ready to give up this world. They are marrying and eating and drinking and buying and smoking and carousing and merrymaking and doing whatever they want to do. All kind of foolishness. And they say in their hearts, nothing is going to happen. Nothing will end. Where is this Jesus? Jesus, show us a sign. For 6,000 years, Jesus has been showing us signs that he is the Messiah, that he is the coming king, and many of us will not believe. Right now, in real time, the Sunday Blue Law, are you hearing me? The Sunday Blue Law are being put into place. Sunday rest will soon be made law. Lifestyle Magazine, a secular magazine, says that it will help normalize us. It will help normalize Sunday now as a day of worship. The Heritage Foundation says we can save America. We can save America by saving the family. Sunday law would do this. Ellen White talked about this subject for years. Even put these things in books. And it's happening in our face right now. We say, no, it's not happening. Oh, that can't be real. It's happening in real time. Are you following me today? Great Controversies, page 606, paragraph 2 says, the fearful results of enforcing the observance of the church by civil authority. The inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. The papal power will be unmasked soon, leading people away from the true day of worship, the seventh day Sabbath, to Sunday observance. The Sunday law is upon us. Religious liberty will soon be no more. The image to the beast will soon be formed, and the mark of the beast will be enforced. Testimonies of the Church, Volume 9, page 11. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and final movements will be rapid ones. Everything will happen fast, back to back, and then Jesus Christ will be here. Jesus, show me a sign. He's showing you the signs. It's right in front of your faces. Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe in the spirit of prophecy? Do you believe in the testimony of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Ellen White, what she wrote down through the ages, down through time, to prepare God's people for the last day offense? Time is of the essence, as I close. Time is of the essence, and there's no more time for playing games. There's no more time for foolishness. These signs and miracles are confirmation that he is real. The Creator, the Redeemer, and the Savior of the world is real. He is waiting for you to believe in him and to have a personal relationship with him. Jesus says, draw nigh unto me, and he will draw nigh unto you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call up him while he is near. Seek my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He that seeketh, findeth unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And he shall seek me when he shall seek me, and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. And you search for God. Don't use Twitter. Don't use Facebook. Don't use internet. Don't use palm readers. Don't use unbelievers. Go to God. Go to Jesus and listen to his voice through the word. And sit down and sup with him. That's according to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Sit down and he will show you. He will confirm to you who he is. Seek the Lord, the God of the Bible. Seek the Lord when you have doubts. Seek the Lord and ask for more faith. God will help you along life's way. Amen. He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to understand his great need of him. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. And he ultimately wants to save us from this sin-sick world. I want you to listen to this song. And after this song is played, then I want to make a general appeal to you.
Thank you for playing that song, my friend. I thank you for playing that. Listen, I just want to leave you with these thoughts in your heart and mind. Daily, you got to spend time with the Lord. Look at the world that we're living in, y'all. This is no time to play. It's not time for any jokes. It's not time to just do your own thing. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He is about to come. He is about to embark on us. We've got to give our heart to Christ. Don't you want to see your family saved? Don't you want to see your children saved? Don't you want to see your spouse and your friends and your relatives? Don't you want to see them saved? I don't know about you, but I'm committed to this. If I could do this for a living, I would do this for a living. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to keep doing this because the time is short. Yes. And you know, I don't care if somebody's your enemy or not. You don't want to see nobody burn. You don't want to see nobody go to hell. That would be crazy. And people are just frivolously just living just how they want to live. And they're just rejecting it. Just keep praying for them. Just keep talking to them. Just keep giving them a word of encouragement. Yes, this is the time that the Lord has blessed his people to move throughout the earth now and to share this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ in its entirety. I get emotional because I don't want to see. Are you with me? I don't want to see my kids lost. I don't want to see my wife. I don't want to see nobody that I know lost. And at the end of the day, when you give your heart to Christ, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, man, this is a great opportunity to shake some people up and bring them into the fold. Amen. We could go out of here today walking in the middle of the street, boom, dead and gone. Did you give your heart to Jesus? Did that person serve the Lord? So the first appeal that I want to give, those people that want to give their hearts to Christ or want to rededicate your life to Christ, stand right now. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, when you go out of here and when you leave, you're going to go out there and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. If you want to do that, please stand. Stand right now. Second appeal. I don't know everybody that's here. I don't know anybody that's here. A lot of people that's here in this church. But maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here that don't know Jesus Christ. Now is the opportunity to make your choice and your peace and election sure with the Lord. You have this opportunity, this grand opportunity, to give your life to the Lord. There's elders here. There's deacons here. There's people that know the Lord. I heard the lesson today. It was a beautiful lesson, by the way. Thank you. Somebody here may not know Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, come on down. I'll meet you halfway. I'll come down with you. But nobody that is in their right mind want to be lost. I'm telling you what I already know. But people are making their choices to come, and whoever that is, I'm going to give you time before I close. Years ago, when I attended Atlantic Union College, everybody was having a good time in an Adventist college. I saw my friends. Some of my friends were going up to Boston, to clubs and partying, having a good time, doing their own thing. I won't mention nothing else. Let your mind wander. Rap here and some rock songs here and all this kind of stuff. They're going and attending that mess. My brother and I, we stayed there in the dorm and we was trying to serve the Lord, trying to live for Jesus Christ. My coach, I was a basketball player at that time. My coach told me, he said, Aaron, he saw something in me. He said, Aaron, you need to go into theology. I said, no, I can't do that. I can't go into no theology, coach. Are you crazy? Now I'm going to be held accountable for all my actions. Even though I was trying to do the right thing, I still felt that pressure. But the Lord has a way of taking you around the circle and bringing you right back to where you need to be. And the Lord has allowed me to go and spend time at other churches, not in just in the English language, but in the Spanish culture as well. What a blessing. What an overjoy. That's a wonderful thing. A wonderful opportunity to be able to see somebody saved. And I want to tell you something as I get ready to let you go. I love running with certain people that I call and that call me and talk to me. I won't name you because I don't want to embarrass nobody. That call and talk to me. Give me words of encouragement. Sometimes you're down and out. You're pressed, you're distressed, you have all these perplexities and thoughts. And it's always nice to hear a voice and say, keep on going, keep on going. We're almost home. And I want to encourage you. We're almost home. We are family. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, white. There's all kind of mess in the world. When we come into here, we are unified. God wants us to come together and share the gospel. So that's the only thing that gives us peace. Jesus said, peace I leave unto you. Peace I give you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. Because one day I know, without a shadow of doubt, we're going to run. We're going to have to run. I didn't want to do pathfinders. Oh, guess what? You're going to have to learn some quick pathfinders from your children now. Going to have to get some tents out. Going to live in some tents. I'm telling you, it's coming, y'all. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming. I love you. I don't even know you. And I want to see you in heaven. I know you guys got to go out and get some food now. But I just want to hold you for one more second. Pray for one another. Give each other words of encouragement and help people with your kind words. Give them a word in due season. And you just might see that person give their heart to the Lord. The Lord's revealing stuff to me. You got to be patient. Patient with your children, with your wife. You're going to lead? Lead. But be patient. Be long-suffering. Be merciful. Be kind. Be gracious. Full of truth and goodness. May God continue to bless you and keep you as you continue to move out there in the general public. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with your people. See all your people, Lord. They're all standing in your name. Everybody here, I believe, wants to be saved. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as we move forward, I was not to just hear the word, but be doers of your word. Give us your peace and your comfort and your joy and your gladness and your music, heavenly music. Put your thanksgiving in our hearts and help us to go throughout the country, go throughout Ohio, go through the city of Cleveland or wherever we live with heaven as our environment and aura wherever we go. So just in case we come into somebody, they may hear a word and say, I want what he has. I want what she has. And I want to be saved. Bless your people now. Save us all when you come. And we are careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And once again, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be with your people here at this church today. Thank you for allowing us to all hear a word from you. In Jesus Christ's name, let everybody say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, now in the name of Jesus, be with us as we leave this sanctuary. But Lord, we ask that you never leave our side, never leave our presence. And now, Lord, we ask that as we move out into the Sabbath, that we would go out rejoicing, knowing, Lord, that we have heard a word from on high from you. And Lord, that we will now go out and share this gospel, this good news with other people that are here, wherever we live, that we will share this good news so that they too may be saved. Thank you for the congregation, for the people that came today. Now take us home safely. Give us safe traveling mercies to our homes. We thank you to our destinations. We thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, let everybody say, amen. Amen.